Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Okay.
I'm all set. Cool.
Okay. Well, hello and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Keith Morris, the product marketing manager at a leading cybersecurity firm known as Twistlock. They're based in Portland, Oregon. Keith, thanks for your time, and let's go ahead and get started.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. It's our pleasure. We looked up your bio, and you seem to have a very rich and a very historical background in cybersecurity. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career?
Sure. So I lead product marketing today at Twistlock, based here in Portland, Oregon. Previously, I was at a mobile app security company called NowSecure, which is based in Chicago. And that was really, you know, one of my big forays when it comes to, kind of joining the cybersecurity space, where we focused on automating security testing for mobile apps as part of DevOps workflows. And then as well as, services and penetration testing type research for mobile apps. And so it was really fun not only looking at devices, but also the apps on those devices and all the different risks present there.
Okay, sounds good. Now, how did you venture into Twistlock? Is this a company that you helped to create?
No, so I was probably the 50th or so employee here at Twistlock. Wanted to continue focusing on product marketing when I joined. We have a great group of founders and leadership team really driving what we're doing in the marketplace and how we expand. But one of the things that really drew me to Twistlock was their approach for securing everything across the cloud-native tech stack. I think everyone today is pretty familiar with Docker and really how containers are driving a lot of companies' enterprise modernization efforts. And not just looking at containers, but also application platforms like Fargate and other tools like serverless, which now is possible across a couple different platforms today. That's what really drew me to Twistlock, is not just focusing on containers, but the entire cloud-native ecosystem.
Well, sounds awesome. Now, obviously, the name of your company has some significance behind it. Is there a deeper meaning behind it in terms of cybersecurity?
Yeah, so Twistlock is a fun kind of play on words. One of the things you'll notice in the Docker space is there's a lot of kind of messaging and branding around shipping containers and that sort of imagery to describe these containers that power today's applications. And so Twistlock is a type of lock used to secure actual shipping containers. And so Twistlock, I believe our founders kind of picked it because it sounded like a really good name for securing kind of virtual or cloud containers.
Okay. Now, how long has Twistlock been in business?
Yeah, so Twistlock was initially headquartered in San Francisco, starting back in 2015.
Okay. Does Twistlock have a presence in other countries as well?
We do. So today we're headquartered in Portland, Oregon. So we have a strong sales and marketing group here that we continue to grow. Portland's an incredibly great place to live, so we're thrilled to kind of be, part of this growing DevOps and cloud ecosystem when we look at other companies that are out here as well. And we also have offices in Israel, New York, London, and we recently announced that we opened kind of an engineering hub in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we have, five offices spread around the world.
Wow, that's really incredible. Congratulations on that. Now, who is your typical customer base that you're trying to target? Is it the small to medium-sized business or the larger companies like the Fortune 500 or even possibly a combination of both?
Yeah, that's a great question. And ultimately, anyone using containers or other cloud-native applications, is a potential customer when it comes to security. We're proud to say that we have 25% of the Fortune 100 as customers. So we work with a lot of, large global enterprises who are leveraging, tools like Docker and other cloud platforms to power their modern applications and recognize that, they need a security partner to make sure that they can scale that. And ultimately, we definitely work with a lot of kind of what we call like cloud-first startups or growing technology companies, large and small, who have really built a lot of their infrastructure on the cloud from inception. But we have customers spread across banking and finance, healthcare, government, retail, entertainment, and industrial sectors. So it's really anyone who's building and deploying applications on the cloud that we can potentially work with, and help secure their applications.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now let's dive into your product and service line. It seems like that you have quite a distinct line of products and services in the Twistlock platform, which ranges from vulnerability management to runtime defense to compliance to cloud-based data firewalls. Then you have your Twistlock solutions. They go in the Amazon ECS security, Azure security, and other cloud providers as well. Can you please elaborate on all of these in more detail and how it is used in cybersecurity today, please?
Yeah, definitely. And so ultimately, the Twistlock platform, provides scalable security across all these different components. And underpinning everything we do is the idea of vulnerability management and compliance. And so making sure that we provide security across the full application lifecycle at the build, at the registry, and then in production. So as you build your containers or begin to deploy your serverless functions, scanning those images for vulnerabilities or compliance issues, with the ability to actually enforce, based on policy of your choosing, what can begin to progress through your development pipeline to the registry. And then that's where Twistlock is going to continually scan your registry. And this is essentially the hub where you store all of your images that you'll begin to deploy in your environment. And so providing visibility into that registry. And then as you begin to deploy, again, based on policy, potentially enforcing what can or can't be leveraged in your environment, Twistlock's runtime defense, once you actually deploy and you're running your microservice, Twistlock leverages four clear sensors, network, file system, process, and system calls to automatically generate a whitelist model of your running environment. And that integrates with what we do with cloud-native firewalling. So we're going to essentially lock down known good behavior of all your microservices and how they communicate. Our layer 3 firewall can enforce pod-to-pod communications over a specific port in a specific direction. So for example, an attacker who might try and probe around a pod, that's where runtime defense can identify some sort of anomalous behavior and surface that as an audit or a security incident. As well, Twistlock offers the ability to segment with a layer 7 firewall, essentially a cloud-native enterprise-grade web application firewall that you can deploy to any container in your environment, like a front-end microservice. So all of these together really provide a lot of defense in depth when it comes to preventing attacks, being able to deploy a layer 7 firewall to a front-end service, runtime defense, protecting any microservice that's running in your environment automatically with that model, and then again, layer 3 micro-segmentation from one pod to the other. And a big differentiator for us is the ability to also monitor your running environments for vulnerabilities or compliance issues and provide risk prioritization based on how your environment is configured. At the same time, Twistlock works across any of the cloud that listeners might be using or interested in. So Amazon, Azure, Pivotal, Google. We essentially are going to integrate with those native build tools you might be using. We're going to make sure that we integrate with all these different registries and run on top of any of the infrastructure stack that you're using there when it comes to containers, managed Kubernetes, and those sorts of technologies.
Sounds excellent. Now, what kinds of customers have used your products and services?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, customers are really spread across almost a dozen different industries, that we work with. I think for us, we really recognize that developers and DevOps leaders are really driving the need for enterprises to adopt containers. Developers are challenged to release features to market more quickly than ever before. So they want to build and deploy things and offer updates as fast as they possibly can. And that's where microservices really presents a lot of advantages. And so, you know, these types of organizations, whether it's large enterprises, whether it's medium-sized businesses, any industry that has some sort of app modernization need stemming from, you know, developers, you know, we're going to support those types of customers.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you tell us a little bit more in detail about the publication that your CTO, John Morello, authored? I believe it's called NIST SP 800/190.
Yeah, definitely. This, we're really proud to have been one of the authors on this document, and our CTO, John Morello, you know, really drives a lot of the platform vision that we have here at Twistlock. And so the NIST SP 800/190 really serves as a foundational document, not just for government agencies, but for enterprises as well, talking about different risk posed to containerized environments, as well as all the different components and security requirements that organizations should look at if they want to secure that containerized stack. So looking at how you actually configure and build containers, looking at the orchestration layer like Docker Swarm or Kubernetes, as well as other concerns that you should have around runtime and things like incident detection or network segmentation. And so this is a document that you could search for and download the direct PDF from NIST themselves. Twistlock also offers a companion guide if you'd like to learn more about compliance regarding NIST SP 800/190 and what some of those components might mean in your environment. And that's available on our website for free if you'd like to access that.
Okay. Can you give us the website address, please, so that the audience can download if they want to?
Yeah. You know, I think we have kind of a hot link set up. So if you go to twistlock.com/NIST, N-I-S-T, it'll take you directly to that landing page.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, from your website, I've noticed that Twistlock has over a dozen patents. So, you know, you've got some serious intellectual property going on there. Could you elaborate more on those and how they kind of relate to cybersecurity, please?
Sure. So, I can't speak to every patent individually. If you wanted to do that, you should definitely tap, you know, someone on our research and development team. But, you know, a lot of the things that we've been looking on when it comes to research really focus around automation and runtime security. So like I mentioned earlier, the notion of runtime defense, building these 4D models across network, file system, process, and system calls, our patents really stem from some of those capabilities around things like automated whitelisting. And so our R&D team has been pivotal into, you know, us, you know, growing inside the marketplace. And I think we have some questions later that I can keep talking about. You know, our research and development team, a security research group called Twistlock Labs, is also a huge asset for us. And so, you know, they've been really prominent in building those patents and ultimately technology that's part of the Twistlock platform.
Okay. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the Twistlock Labs?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a group of security researchers whose entire job is to find ways that enterprises can improve security. And so they are looking at the entire containerized cloud-native stack to not only identify security flaws, but essentially research any sort of risk present there and either build that into the product or share that with the community.
Okay. Do you have any customer success stories that you'd like to share with us, like any case studies?
Sure. Yeah, so I can't name any customer names specifically, but I can kind of talk at a high level about how some of our customers are leveraging Twistlock in big ways. So we have a global retail customer that processes millions of dollars of revenue from one of their front-end web applications. And so that's obviously incredibly important that they maintain PCI compliance, not only as they're building containers, but in their runtime environments. And so Twistlock, in our compliance capabilities, we offer pre-built templates for common compliance regimes with the ability to customize those templates as you want to operationalize those in your environment. And so we have a global retail customer that's had success building and maintaining PCI compliance for some of their important web applications. We also have a global entertainment customer who wanted to better manage vulnerabilities across their entire application pipeline. And so integrating Twistlock with our Jenkins plugin, so we have a standalone Jenkins plugin that you can install. Jenkins is your build tool. That certainly seems to be the most popular, although we'll definitely integrate with any of the other common build tools that are out there. So they integrated Twistlock at the build, could use Twistlock to continually monitor their registry, but they also wanted a tool that could provide them runtime visibility of their running environments and notify them of any sort of vulnerability change. And they've also deployed Twistlock into their runtime environment to gather vulnerability data as well. And they're in the entertainment space.
Oh, sounds excellent. Now, obviously, I mean, there are lots of cybersecurity vendors, you know, all over the country, all over the world, new ones coming up. What separates Twistlock from the mainstream cybersecurity company that we hear, you know, that we keep hearing about every day?
Sure. So Twistlock is really focused on the cloud-native technology stack. And so we're really focused on organizations leveraging virtual machines, Docker containers, new emerging technologies like AWS Fargate, and the other serverless platform providers that are available. And so that's ultimately where Twistlock technology is really focused, anywhere across that cloud-native technology stack.
Okay. Do you offer any free trials or any type of free risk assessment tools for your customers before they purchase your products and services and even thereafter?
Sure, yeah. So essentially we offer an enterprise evaluation license of our product, and it's available via the homepage of the website. And ultimately, you know, our technical team offers a bunch of support documents that are specific to your environment, so you can get Twistlock up and running on your own if you'd like. And we can certainly talk about, you know, best practices for deploying, maintaining, and updating Twistlock. And then we essentially would build, you know, some sort of evaluation plan so you can better understand how Twistlock would work within your environment. And then our customer success team is huge in what we do, supporting all of these enterprises as they continue to use Twistlock and scale after. And so there's a lot of things that we can talk about once you hit that kind of Get Twistlock button on our website.
Oh, I think that's awesome that you really serve your customers to that extent, to that degree. I think it's incredible. Now, do you have a partner program? Do you rely on partners, other technology vendors, other cybersecurity companies?
Yeah, I'm thrilled to share that in the last few months, Twistlock announced the Twistlock Advantage program for partnerships. Essentially, we want to really be one of the key players bringing together partners across the cloud-native ecosystem, essentially everyone involved with making cloud-native applications more secure. And I can talk a little bit more about what that means. Essentially, we want to partner with...
Why don't you go ahead and elaborate more on that a little bit, please?
Oh, wait, sorry, I missed that?
Yeah, why don't you elaborate a little bit more on that? I think you were talking about more about your partner program.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we want to partner with all of the underlying platforms who are really providing the foundations for secure cloud-native development and applications. We want to partner with the leading continuous integration or continuous delivery tools that a lot of enterprises are leveraging to build and deploy their applications. We also want to partner with tools that companies use for secrets management or other controls like identity and access management. Those are absolutely pivotal when it comes to the development lifecycle. And then we also want to partner, whether it's with other security companies or data analytics and performance monitoring companies who are responsible for monitoring cloud applications as they run, or gathering data, like a SIM, and analyzing that as part of kind of a global single pane of glass, so to speak. And so we also partner with system integrators who are responsible for enabling and scaling some of this effort at various enterprises. And so our partnership program is key to bringing all of those people together and allowing us to grow not only as a company with our own product, but growing alongside all these other innovators.
Sounds excellent. Now, do you also depend upon a value-added reseller or VAR approach for your sales?
Yeah, we work with a handful of channel partners around the world, telling a story together about how they can deploy Twistlock or implement Twistlock for security. And that's something you can learn more about if you go to twistlock.com/partners, where we certainly share more information about our reseller program as well, if that's something that interests you.
Sounds excellent. Now, let's just segue now into the overall cyber threat landscape. On other points, we keep hearing about nation-state threat actors such as North Korea, China, Russia, what have you. What are your thoughts on that, like nation-state actors now coming into the foray of cyber attacks?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I'm not a cybersecurity specialist, understanding all the unique history. But I can certainly comment and say, things that we've seen recently in the news with ransomware-type attacks or nation-state threat actors, if you as an organization or enterprise have something valuable, like important customer data or proprietary technology, attackers, whether part of some of the countries you named or other groups, will certainly try to see if they can access it or disrupt it. I think of, some of the very prominent ransomware attacks that certainly crippled or stalled governments in Europe or in the United States. Even disruption can be incredibly difficult for enterprises and organizations to deal with. The other thing that we continue to find, and this is where Twistlock Labs research comes into play, is that a lot of these attacks from foreign adversaries or attack groups are really leveraging a lot of automated attack toolkits. And so, they're looking to kind of use these automated toolkits to leverage known exploits. So they're certainly looking to see, what exploits exist based on certain frameworks to gather, data. And they're also leveraging automation, which makes it incredibly difficult to keep up with these attacks if you're using a lot of manual tools. So in Twistlock Labs' recent research report, they looked at some common application frameworks. They set up some kind of honeypots and then watch the types of automated attacks that occur. And so if you're interested in learning more about that research, it's in the resources section of our website. But one of the common threads was just how many automated toolkits were being used to probe essentially cloud-native applications.
Okay, sounds good. Now, obviously, the cyber threat landscape is changing, probably minute by minute. With new threats coming out, they're getting more sophisticated, much more covert. How does Twistlock keep up with all this? I mean, do you try to mitigate each and every threat, or do you specialize in a certain few, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so that's why our full platform approach is really such a big differentiator for us, the way that we're able to integrate across the application lifecycle. So ensuring that you're building containers that are secure and deploying applications with runtime defense and that automated whitelisting approach. We're going to continue to invest in our Twistlock Labs research team because their research really does make it back into the product in surfacing threats and scenarios that can benefit all of our customers. And so for us, we're really challenged across the company in making sure we continually release great updates to our product, you know, continue to find ways where the platform can span the entire life cycle. And that investment in Twistlock Labs, you know, again, is a big differentiator for us.
Okay. Now, how do you foresee the cyber threat landscape changing, you know, or evolving in the, like, the next few years?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think from my seat, I think it's a couple of things. But the most important, you know, scenario or kind of evolving threat is going to just be how easily it is for attackers to leverage some sort of automated tool to begin attacking your infrastructure. And in the in just how easy it is sometimes for attackers to not just gain access to some important data at the enterprise, but like I mentioned earlier with some of those ransomware attacks, actually disrupt services. Another trend that we're really seeing recently that'll be interesting to see if it continues to grow is the idea of running like rogue crypto miners on insecure infrastructure. So if you create some computing services on your own network, we've continued to see, and this has been reported from not just Twistlock, but a lot of other you know, leading cloud security organizations, attackers leveraging your compute services just to mine crypto mining. And so they can get cryptocurrency without having to spend anything on compute. That's not really necessarily an attack, but it's certainly something that's disruptive, and it's certainly a threat if you have insecure infrastructure.
Okay. Now, this is going to be an interesting question here. What do you think, based from your experience and knowledge, that the biggest cyber threat will be? And then I have a follow-up question with you after that on what your thoughts are on critical infrastructure.
Yeah, so, you know, I almost think that we can get into some pretty complicated cyber threats, but I still feel like social engineering and educating employees about the value of security is still one of the most common and scariest threat vectors. You know, how do you make sure that all of your endpoint devices are secure, all of your employee desktops or laptops are up to date and cared for in a secure manner, or all of the different technologies you're using have secure protocols in place that are also scalable? So I think everything that revolves around education of all the people at your organization or connected to your organization and making sure that you have models in place to deal with the different risk, I mean, that's one that we continue to come back to time and time again. And then I think a lot of cyber threats really stem from software updates and making sure vulnerabilities are patched in a timely manner and then implemented across an organization's infrastructure. So we continue to see time and time again of an organization in the news where essentially some sort of software database or user data was left unprotected by a known vulnerability that they just didn't patch. And so as software continues to eat the world, how do we ensure this full lifecycle approach to not just identify those vulnerabilities, but prioritize the biggest risk so organizations can make those patches? I think these foundational things are, you know, going to be more and more critical as, you know, infrastructure continues to grow.
Okay. Now, just to kind of segue off that, I've got a client, a writing client. He's interviewed some really top people from the military and from the government sector, and they all say that critical infrastructure, the attacks is very scary, like electric grids being taken down, the supply logistics chain. What do you think about that? I mean, we keep hearing about, you know, little threat, you know, critical infrastructure threats happening here and there. In fact, I even wrote a blog posting on how the E911 system, I think in one state on the East Coast, was actually like set off by a cyber attacker. What do you think about that? Like direct critical infrastructure threats like that?
Yeah. So, you know, I obviously, you know, haven't caught up on all those interviews and blog posts. And I don't have the highest security clearance, so there are certainly smarter people who have a lot more knowledge than I do. But I think, you know, it really comes back to what we talked about earlier, where if you have some sort of valuable infrastructure or important proprietary technology, attackers will certainly see if they can access it. And so, you know, if you have a foreign adversary, they will certainly begin probing your network, probing your infrastructure, with any sort of industrial system being a big target, right? And so I think anything that's a big target, you know, I'm glad there are a lot of smart people looking and wanting to maintain security for those types of things. It's incredibly important.
Right. Now, finally, as we close out the show, this is probably one of the biggest questions that, you know, the audience is going to be interested in. What do you recommend for the average American citizen or even anyone around the world? What should they do to protect themselves from a cyber attack, or what should a business do? Do you have any pointers and tips that you can share?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, if you're an individual, there's some, you know, very simple things that you can do, you know, that really involve preventing kind of social engineering attacks, or, you know, just kind of using your street smarts to protect your proprietary data. I definitely recommend using a password manager and setting strong passwords that you don't repeat across all of your different accounts. And then, you know, looking to see what are the most important accounts you might have that would make a good target for someone to try and access. You know, things like retirement accounts, banking accounts, anything else that involves your personal data. You know, what can attackers learn about you on the internet that you want to make sure that you don't expose? And then, you know, I think one of the things that really presents a lot of opportunity for compromise for the average person are things like email attacks or phone calls where someone just tries to gather information about you. Just making sure that you don't click on any links that look nefarious, and making sure that you don't disclose any information unless you know exactly who you're talking to and can trust them with that information. I think a lot of the average scenarios are really things that you can learn about when it comes to social engineering and just put some good best practices in place. The other thing that I always tell my family is software updates keep you secure. So when your devices need to be updated, you know, doing those in a timely manner, just like enterprises need to update their software to make sure that, you know, everything is secure as possible. The average person has their mobile phone, their laptop or desktop computer, and keeping those up to date helps immensely.
Okay, well, Keith, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we hope to speak with you again here in the near future.
Thank you so much. Thrilled to be on today's show. Definitely let us know if you need any access to any further resources that are all available at twistlock.com. We're thrilled to be a part of the cloud native ecosystem and thrilled to be talking here today.
Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Bye-bye.